Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Career 360, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, HireRight, the leading provider of global employment background checks, recently announced their findings from the 2019 APEC Employment Screening Benchmark Report. According to the report, more than four in five APEC organizations are expecting an increase in employees in the coming 12 months. We speak to Ko Hui Yen, who's general manager for APEC at HireRight, about the challenges businesses face in finding, developing, and retaining talent. Hui Yen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
First, tell us if there are problems in the hiring process. Where might they lie?
Sure. So if we look at the economies these days, it is getting a lot more interconnected. There is definitely a rush for talent globally, and frequently companies are competing for the same type of talent.
Let me guess, tech skills?
Yeah, that's one of the most highly sought after skill sets.
Right.
And in that process, in that rush, of course, there is now more and more so a need to increase or reduce the time to hire.
Mm.
And background screening actually forms a very critical part of the overall hiring process, because you want to make sure that you are hiring the right talents and the candidates that you are bringing on board are indeed who they claim they are.
Oh.
So in that process of rushing to get talent on board as quickly as possible, what we are seeing, and from our survey reports as well, you can see that companies are reducing the number of checks that they should be doing. So by reducing the types of checks, the background screening process might actually be a little bit less rigorous than what it should be. In terms of the inconsistencies, in terms of how different types of employees across different levels are being treated, there are definitely inconsistencies in how senior hires are being screened versus a more junior hire. And also in Asia, and actually across the world these days, there are a lot of contract workers, there are interns that are being onboarded, and sometimes companies may not have the same approach, and they don't carry out the same type of background screening on this type of hires.
But that sounds logical. Obviously, somebody of a more senior level would be checked more thoroughly, so to speak. They'd have more responsibility, they have more accountability. So we're seeing now what? Everyone's sort of checked as little as possible, so to speak, or just the speed with which they want the talent in has made the process shorter.
So it's not that people are being checked less, but it's just the number of checks that are being done.
Right.
So if you look at the types of checks, I mean, they are most common in Asia Pacific. It would still be around employment checks, or also your background or your educational background checks. But what companies are not doing as much would be around global ID checks and criminal checks. So when you don't check things like this, sometimes things do fall between the cracks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Explain global ID to us.
So global ID checks would be around checking, for example, when you your national identity, like your NRIC check, your passport check, to make sure that the name and the person that you've presented in your application is in tallies with the person that is going through the check.
Right.
Yeah.
So I imagine now the challenges facing hiring managers would be to quickly go through that process. Can it be shortened, so to speak, and still allow you to verify the veracity of a particular applicant?
That's a very good question, and we get asked that question, frankly, quite a lot by clients.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, it is about working with the right partner to establish a robust screening program.
Mm.
Because if you work with partners that are very experienced, operating across multiple jurisdictions, they would, of course, have the right access to the different types of sources. They would know what needs to be done, and they would also be able to educate your business stakeholders as well as the candidates, because sometimes the delay in a background check is not from the check itself, but the delay may be coming from the employees, the candidates in their application process, because bearing in mind that background screening is still fairly new in Asia, so sometimes people may not understand what they need to prepare, what do they need to expect from the whole background screening process, and there might be also some apprehension and reluctance, hence they may not respond as quickly as they should be when providing certain data or information to facilitate the background check.
How quickly do organizations want to get through that process today versus what it was before, so to speak? I couldn't tell you or ask you when exactly, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, something.
So, of course, as quickly as possible, that's always the case. But typically,
what was it like before?
Mm-hmm. So typically for us in APAC, it would take anywhere from 7 working days to 15 working days.
Oh, that's not too bad. I thought something like months or years.
No, definitely
7 to 15, okay.
Yeah.
And now they want it as quickly as?
Ideally below 15 working days.
Right.
I think that's the expectations that most clients have. But frankly, it depends on the types of checks that are being done and the locations in terms of which jurisdiction we are operating within. So for certain countries like India, the checks might take a slightly longer timeline versus, say, a country like Singapore, where everything is a lot more connected and it's easier to get access to sources.
What might be a solution, though, given there's this relative lack of consistency in terms of background screening processes?
So I think as the awareness of background screening increases across the different countries, the education piece definitely helps as more and more candidates are aware of the need and companies become more aware as well. That helps in terms of reducing the time. And also integration with applicant tracking systems, ATS for short. So applicant tracking systems are basically software which allows you to collect resumes and sorts through the resumes that a lot of employers use these days. And the data that is being collected at the front when you're doing a job application, that actually gets captured by the ATS system and auto-populated into some of the background screening providers' software. So for us at HireRight, we are integrated with most of the ATS providers. So that really shortens the time to process a check as well.
Right. Talk to us about, say, risks that an organization faces with a candidate that has discrepancies in their what they've presented and what you may have uncovered to be actually the truth.
So if you follow media reports these days, there are lots of reports about inconsistencies. So, for example, last year there was a lawyer in Singapore who forged her transcript for her law degree, and that was being found out, and subsequently she was being disbarred from her position and she had to pay a fine, and I believe the fine was $5,000. So that is the sort of risk that organizations will bring to the organization if they do not do proper screening, because the person that you're onboarding may not necessarily have the right credentials that they say they have. And also, if you think about how connected an employee is to the rest of the systems, the rest of the IT database, and just access generally to office premises as well, you do want to make sure that the person you have is somebody you can trust and doesn't have like a criminal record that's not being reported, for example. So when you do not do a proper check, this would be some of the risk that an organization would be exposed to.
We're speaking with Ko Hui Yen, who's general manager for APEC at HireRight. Hui Yen, at the risk of sounding like I'm condoning nefarious behavior, if the employee, maybe with the forged credentials, is still able to do the job, that's not too bad, right?
Well, I would say that the integrity of an individual
is in question.
Is key, right? So at the end of the day, while you may be able to do the job, but it does bring into question your character and your integrity. And at the end of the day, I think everybody wants to work with people they can trust and has integrity.
How much more complicated is the screening process for, say, senior executives? And really, maybe APEC organizations shouldn't stinge on the time as they screen senior executives.
So for senior executives, what we see a lot of times is organizations would add in directorship checks to make sure there is no conflict of interest. But there are some common checks that are being done on both senior employees or senior executives as well as your rank and file workers. So it really ties in with the industry that they are in. So for example, if you are in a highly regulated industry, then you might need more checks around financial credentials as well.
For example?
So for example, you would want to check on bankruptcy as well. Mm. Yeah, so financial regulators check is something that we do a fair bit for financial institutions. trends.
Hui Yan, what other sorts of trends were uncovered in this report?
So what we found from the report also is that there is now an increase in the awareness of background screening. So more and more companies agree and are beginning to understand and see the benefits of doing background screening. And they feel that they are there for onboarding the right people when they do background screening. Another trend that we are seeing is that there is now a focus on getting more efficiency out of the HR process. So HR professionals are no longer, gone are the days where they are just processing payroll and it's a very back office, but they also need to think about how they streamline the processes. Hence, more companies are embracing technologies like the ATS systems that I mentioned about earlier.
For us, as we go out and seek for jobs beyond, let's be truthful, what are some other tips you could share with would-be employees as they head out?
Yeah. So I think I can't emphasize the fact that you do definitely need to be as truthful as possible because at the end of the day, you don't really know whether the company is going to be checking on your experience and what sort of checks would be performed.
So yeah, you might think, oh, I'm just a junior level. They may not go into that kind of detail, right, for somebody of my level.
Yes.
But that's not true.
That's not necessarily the case. Mm. Yeah, so we do see clients also screening rank and file workers.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it always pays to be truthful and make sure that you are, while you may be exaggerating, you really shouldn't be exaggerating your experience.
What's exaggerating?
So for example,
I worked 3 years instead of actually you only worked two.
Yes.
That's bad?
That
okay.
would be bad. So that is a common type of discrepancy that is being uncovered sometimes when we do employment checks, because employees might claim that they hold a much larger title. For example, like they claim that they are director of a department when they are just a manager.
Right.
This sort of misinformation would be picked up. Hence, at the end of the day, you need to be as truthful as you can and as accurate as possible in your CV.
Words to live by. Ko Hui Yan, General Manager for APEC at HireRight. Hui Yan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.